Will you spend another summer working on your yard for your spouse, kids, and guests? Or would you rather spend the summer with your spouse, playing with the kids, and relaxing with guests? Hire Blue Duck Lawn Care to get the super healthy lawn you'll love and neighbors will envy. Blue Duck does the fertilizing and weed control. You just mow to get a lush, thick lawn. Best in your neighborhood. If it's got to be green, hire Blue. BlueDuckLawnCare.com. Remember, if it's got to be green, hire Blue. BlueDuckLawnCare.com.
Donna Gass, the Morning News, 93 WIBC. My name is Craig Collins. Ronna McDaniel is somehow still in the news. Look, I'm no fan of Ronna. I do think that she should have gone from the RNC a while ago. I do think she was out of touch with a lot of conservative voters in some of the things she said. Case in point might be the way in which she, in the interview on Meet the Press, talked a lot about a fair and square 2020 election, but then also issues that she saw that existed. I don't think you can say both things at the same time. I think that's part of the problem. If you want to cater to people who feel one way or people who feel a different way, pick one lane and go. Just take that road. But anyway, Chuck Todd, very upset about all this. A lot of NBC, very upset about all this. I can play some of the long rant, whatever you call it, that Chuck Todd went on right after they aired the interview with Ronna McDaniel. But before I even do that, I want to say that former DNC, RNC chairs, people who worked literally within administrations, very, very often get TV jobs after their time is over in whatever the political world is they worked in. And especially if it's Democrats, there's not this crazy uproar from the same side of the political aisle or the same side of the media aisle, if that's what you want to call it. So I just find this so hypocritical. It's great. Even if I agree that Ronna's a weird hire for NBC and I don't really need to hear from her. But that is also the move that a lot of people make when they want to pretend that they're trying to be on both sides of the aisle, but really they're not. They're going to pay a person that they can put an R in front of their name, however exactly they do that, kind of like The View, and then also tell them, this is what you say now, this is what you don't say. We need you to say this stuff. But here we go. Here's Chuck Todd being very upset.
So she has credibility issues that she still has to deal with.
Yeah.
Is she speaking for herself or is she speaking on behalf of who's paying her? What, once at the RNC, she did say that, hey, I'm speaking for the party. I get that. That's part of the job. So what about here? I will say this. I think your interview did a good job of exposing, I think, many of the contradictions. And look, there's
good
a
job.
Reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this.
Because so mad.
Many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting. Have been met with character assassination.
Ugh, that is what's happened every time that we've dealt with the RNC and said how terrible Republicans are on television. And then they've done stuff and said stuff and made us very mad, et cetera, et cetera. I love this. I love the hypocrisy of these things because somehow, some way, they don't see it. Or at least I assume they don't see it. And if they do see how hypocritical they're being, you would think that a lot of these individuals in mainstream media just wouldn't allow themselves to say this stuff. No matter how much, again, I actually agree that Ronna was not a necessary hire, that she can go disappear into the ether, and I would be as happy as anyone else about it. It's just such an odd version of, you know, how dare we? How dare we as media, as journalists, as people high and mighty on the, you know, hill of I guess, value and integrity, how dare we do something so low? Like hire someone with the political connection she had, even though we do it constantly out of the left and with Democrats on an almost regular basis. It's amazing. All right. One other thing that I want to touch on just quick before I take a break. I do think this is interesting. The development going on after the horrific terrorist attack that happened in Moscow, 133 people at least were killed. The Islamic State immediately took responsibility for it, said that we did this. The people that you've arrested, the people that, you know, you're going to try for this are people that are connected to us. The United States, I guess, has backed that assessment, saying that our belief is that, yes, it was an Islamic State, an ISIS thing that happened. It hasn't prevented Russia and Ukraine from alluding to the idea that the other country was involved somehow, Ukraine saying that Russia was involved somehow in order to create some sort of, you know, public sentiment or public change of heart for how people feel about the Russian war on Ukraine because of a terrible thing happening to innocent people inside a city, a big city in Russia. What I can't get over in all of this is the missing component the United States should be saying about allowing ISIS or allowing other organizations to maybe thrive once again, to start growing once again. That's the conversation that we've been having. Well, at least some of us have been having that's been falling on deaf ears. And then you see an attack like this anywhere in the world, as significant as this, and ISIS takes credit for it so quickly. And you think to yourself, man, I wonder why the narrative isn't, and we all know the answer to this, but I wonder why the narrative isn't that the failed exit in Afghanistan, the money that's been sent from the United States to other places, that's moved around in scary ways, et cetera, all are playing aspects into this, similar to even people thinking that what's going on between Hamas and Israel is money that landed in certain pockets that was then provided to Hamas to create a you know, horrific attack there. That's the real conversation we should be having, not whether or not two countries at war are going to try to blame each other for something terrible that happened inside one of those countries, regardless of if it's accurate or not. That's the part that I guess always happens, but doesn't need to be the general focus of many of us. I can't get over that either. There's feels like there's a good amount of hypocrisy there too. A quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in. Tony Katz, The Morning News, 93 WIBC.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Tony Katz, The Morning News, 93 WIBC. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Matt and Carl hanging out as they do every single morning. I saw a story go viral. It's in the New York Post, and a lot of other places. And I can't help but think a thing. This is a little bit adult in nature. I'll try my best to clean it up because I know it's 7 o'clock, 7:18 in the morning. I probably shouldn't go there. I can't help it. So a Gen Z couple, they're both 23 years old. Their names are Maggie and Danny, have gone viral because they talked about how crazy it was that they had decided to download a dating app, that they met each other, and a week into knowing each other were humans at all, they wind up expecting a child. That's the story that's gone viral everywhere. And they're like, it's a roller coaster. They're the craziness and we're going to get married or whatever we're going to do. Here's the thing. Some of us may wonder if one of the two individuals in this relationship was already aware of something and didn't tell the other person until after you meet and have the 1 week of romance, I guess. That's the curiosity. That's the Jerry Springer version of my thought coming out. And then probably the, you know, are you the father test happening as well. What do you think about this, Matt?
Oh, this used to happen in Gen X too. I mean, this is a problem our whole lives. I didn't go there with my head like somebody might have had the information beforehand, but my head did go to how do you know the child is, well, that you had something to do with the child being conceived. That's where there my head went. Yeah, that's right. Where I would have some questions. You know, how do I know it's mine?
I'm curious.
You know, yeah.
Right, yeah. And I don't want to ruin this 1 week long relationship where we're already expecting a child with a paternity test, but I'm going to get one. I'm going to ask for one. We're going to do that at some point if this were me.
Consider it
again,
a prenup.
I'll just apologize.
Right. What? Consider it a prenup, you know? I mean, this is what we're doing. None of us have any money. We're 23, but right. I want to make sure it's mine, you know?
I just out of curiosity, just to be safe, you know, like make it into a joke, but then definitely do it. All right. There's no joke that you could make that into. Another thing I saw out there, I thought this was interesting. A guy is running for president in Texas. And he thought that he should change his name to be as appealing as possible to people. So he changed his name to literally anybody else. That's his legal name right now. And I think I have a, political commercial that he made about how he's running for office And the reason why is because he doesn't want to vote for anyone. He'd rather vote for literally anyone else, which apparently is now him. Here we go. Oh, wait, hold on.
That's my name.
My name is literally anybody else, and I'm running for president of the United States. You know, it's not necessarily about me as a person, but it's about literally anybody else as an idea. Donald Trump, Joe Biden, under it would be literally anybody else. There really should be some outlet for folks like me who are just so fed up with this constant power grab between the two parties that just has no benefit to the common person.
Does literally anybody else have a shot at winning the presidential election, Matt?
This was done already in Brewster's Millions, a great 80s comedy with Richard
yes,
Pryor, when he said, vote for none of the above. And it was perfectly done. And this doesn't have the irreverence. It doesn't have the comedy of that. So it's really no fun at all. This will be remembered for 15 minutes. Listen, maybe I'm cynical. People have made up their minds about the election. They're going to go out. They're going to cast their vote. And they're certainly not going to vote for literally nobody else. Just because they're on the ballot. It doesn't work that way. Start with comptroller, run for comptroller, or maybe state senate, and then you can work your way up to president. Yeah. That's what I would advise.
Actually, I love that idea.
As a political mastermind.
There you go. If you want to change your name and make some sort of political statement and also have an outside shot at winning something, literally anybody else should run for a small office first. go work your way up, go through the right path, and then eventually get to the position where you're trying to run for president, I guess. But yeah, I totally agree with you. 15 minutes of fame seeking again, stupid again, just a lot of things, and done way better by Richard Pryor. So really, why are you even trying?
Such a good movie, man. It's terrific.
Yes, it really is. Another thing I saw out there that I thought was interesting, Europeans are going viral on social media. I think this is actually also on Reddit, talking about the American things that they don't understand that we do that's normal, that they think are crazy. We drive too far is one of the first ones they say. They don't know why we don't take another form of transit, whether it's a train or, you know, a plane, that we go on way too many long distance drives. I utterly think that they're ridiculous, the Europeans that are saying this or whoever on the internet. A long drive is great. A road trip is a thing people should do. And it's better that way than any other way you're going to do it.
Now, would we still take the long drives if we did have trains? I mean, think about the stress and the anxiety you get sometimes while you're driving. And I do get that when I'm driving. I mean, I report traffic. Nobody hates being stuck in traffic more than I do, you know, except for everybody else listening right now. I mean, so if the option of a train was there, I mean, they're talking about the South Shore and expanding the South Shore. As a matter of fact, I believe that they're doing that. If the train is there, wouldn't you rather take a train ride where you don't have to navigate the steering wheel and worried about distracted driving and no rights on reds and electric buses and everything else we deal with here in Indianapolis? Just let somebody else take the wheel for a moment. Then you can kind of decompress, enjoy your life a little bit. You know, if that was there, if the option was there, that's what I'm saying.
Well, let me say it this way, because I totally agree with you. And I do like the idea of taking train rides too. But if you never go on a car trip that takes more than 3 or 4 hours to go from one place to another place, you're doing something wrong in your life. You got to do a long road trip, and we don't use the maps anymore because everything's GPS. But there was something really nice about those, even with all the fighting, even with all the crazy moments that happen, like going on a 12, 15-hour drive to one destination is something that shouldn't go away. And I think that's part of what the take is by the people in the other countries that are saying we're idiots for making this decision.
Well, if you're going to be on a train, too, you're going to get a murder mystery. I mean, it's just the Orient Express. I mean, at some point, somebody's going to get murdered, and you are going to be allowed to solve that mystery. I've seen movies. This is true. So I'm definitely.
You know what? I would take way more trains if there was going to be a murder mystery at some point. I would, with a Hercule Poirot or whatever, one of those individuals, someone popping out of nowhere and trying to figure it out. That'd be great.
How do you advertise that? Somebody gets murdered. You get to solve the mystery. Come on in. Oh, by the way, you get dinner and dessert. Free drink at the bar.
Oh, you know what? Actually, if it were that performance thing, where like it's a bunch of people who didn't make it as actors after their high school drama and they wind up in this thing, I actually think it would be painful again. Like a fake murder mystery train, I feel like that gets really not fun very quickly.
It just depends on who's going to get murdered. By the way, if you're the one that's chosen, sorry about your luck.
Sorry about that, guys.
Money's refunded, though, you know, if you get...
Well, let's not go too far, Matt. You don't want to fund all the money.
Oh, no.
We'll comp some items at the bar or something, I guess. Other things out there that they said are crazy, drug advertisements. And this one I think a lot of us can agree with. They don't exist in Europe. They do exist here. and Europeans think it's crazy that we have these drug ads all over television. I easily agree with that. I think we should have far less of these. And I also thought it was nuts that the Pfizer CEO was doing interviews during COVID. You could find anybody else to have a take than the dude who's making money off the thing he's discussing. And yet here we act like that's normal.
Oh, it's so disingenuous. It's something yes. that I'm really surprised that was one of the things. And I'm surprised that's not a European thing.
Right.
But it is always a little bit gross when that ad comes on, you know, I'm not ripping any advertisers here, but it's something to the effect of, okay, you're saying this works, and then the last 5 seconds of your ad is a disclaimer telling me how I'm going to break out chicken pox.
Hey guys, we have a lot of pharmaceutical ads. I love them.
Oh, thank you, Carl. Carl. We're outvoted.
No. Right. Yeah. I'll say this. And again, this is not trying to crap on any of our advertisers. No. I know we got to get to traffic. But I will say this, that I think that the constant nature of it, especially in television, is the frustrating part, not necessarily the wonderful people who brought these products to WIBC that we choose to put on these airwaves. And on that note, we'll save this with traffic. Matt,
yeah, it's just a really quick disclaimer at the end that always bothers
Amen.
Me. You know, that thing. We're looking.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
At Northbound.
Cats, the morning news, 93 WIBC. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Tony is back tomorrow. I'm going to take a second and talk about something you probably didn't expect me to discuss on the show today. First, of course, March Madness, big deal, especially a big deal in Indy. And Purdue is doing great. 106-67, a blowout destruction of the Utah State Aggies. So great there. But I saw this story that was trending on social media about March Gladness. And you might not know what that's talking about. I didn't at first. I had to dive deeper. But it's community leaders in some of the, let's call them more difficult communities that exist within Indy, calling for young people to do the right thing when two options arise. This is, among other things, they're saying, providing resources, financial support, or at least training for how to handle things when you get older. Here's what I thought was really interesting about this, and it's not talked about enough, I don't think. When communities try to help themselves, and you see violence exist in communities, that means that not only are the people who are committing crimes within a certain subset of, say, parts of our area or parts of the country, more or less, the data backs that up. That's not a thing I'm saying that can make anybody mad at me. Not only is that true, but also the victims are all people usually within those same communities that are troubled. So I really like this, the idea, and March Gladness might be a dumb name, playing on the March Madness theme, but trying to encourage kids to also find like the good in life, more or less feels like a tone or a statement to be made. They said, if you want to be an influencer, do it as a human being, do it as a person. And this leads me to one other thing I wanted to bring up today. There's a story out there about how people of faith, and I don't mean any specific faith, I just mean faith of some kind, religious beliefs to some degree, are actually happier than people who don't have religious beliefs to fall on. This is just another study, just more data out there into the world. I'm not trying to go to, you know, religious myself. I am a Catholic. I've actually played a role on other shows when I used to work on them. I called Catholic Craig, which was weird, and they'd bring me on to talk about whatever the news was that involved my faith, which wasn't always the most fun to talk about, but I digress. Nonetheless, what I think is important here is how these worlds sort of merge. And the biggest solution to the problems that exist in communities in our society or in our country or, you know, right here in Indianapolis is people within those communities fostering different decision-making. Acting as though like these are the things you should be doing and these are the things you shouldn't be doing, and there's no real value in behaving differently.
I find that to be a good message. And so, again, I know people are going to criticize all kinds of parts of this. You might tell me I'm overly woke right now on the show for saying this the way that I'm saying. I intend no wokeness. I would love that as a bumper sticker. I intend no wokeness. But I do believe that the true solution comes from communities telling people who are misbehaving to stop and actually getting through out of young people. I think that that's a huge part of what actually solves the problem, and not any of the red flag operation stuff that the Biden administration will be going down and touting and proud of that seems to pretty easily infringe on, say, Second Amendment rights. Because so many people think the only solution to the problem is we'll take the guns away. And if you did that, the only people who aren't going to agree to it are going to be the criminals, the bad guys. They're not going to care that their guns are illegal. The rest of us won't have them. Actually, you know what? I'll go this road with it. And we'll take a pause after this. In Canada right now, you might have seen this story. It was about a week or so ago that it first became viral. I think it's just parts of Canada where people are now, cops are now telling people who live in houses that because home break-ins are so bad and because carjackings are so bad, just leave your keys outside. And if someone shows up and tries to take your car, you'll be happy to know that they're not going to break in and steal more of your stuff too, which is insane. That's an insane destruction of society, a breakdown in what does and doesn't make sense for people. And the reason why is because, well, now you can't arm yourself in Canada legally. And so a lot of people would be at the mercy of an individual who attacks their home and has a gun. And so again, that's the bad version of the thing they tell us is a solution actually happening somewhere else in the world. And then you have these good things happening in communities that probably need more publicity, probably need more coverage. Whether or not they work, I don't know. I have a buddy of mine that always makes fun of midnight basketball. That's not going to solve all our problems, just setting up some midnight basketball. And I agree with him. I understand that that alone isn't going to do it. But I do think praise is deserved when faith leaders, individuals, whoever they are, try to set up events that are focused on finding a way to remove the value in doing bad stuff that exists and, you know, create a better set of priorities among what good things you should be doing. All right. On that very preachy note, we'll take a break. A lot more in a bit. Craig Collins filling in. Tony Katz, The Morning News, 93 WIBC.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Tony Katz, The Morning News, 93 WIBC. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Matt and Carl hanging out as they do every single morning. Tony is back tomorrow. I saw a story about a Batmobile-like vehicle that's going to be at the New York Auto Show, or probably has gone to a bunch of auto shows recently. This thing is $2.5 million, and it goes a top speed, 256 miles per hour. Here's the thing. We don't need stuff like this. Stuff like this probably won't be on the roadways anytime soon, and no one's going to hit 256 in a valuable way, or Matt Baer is going to do the craziest traffic report you've ever heard in our society, for sure. It still sounds cool. It still sounds awesome, but I do think that we don't need to get to ludicrous speed. Ridiculous speed was good enough. You don't need to go any crazier. I know Spaceballs reference.
Yeah, it's a great Spaceballs. I was just going to say, we don't need it, but we want it.
Big time. We do.
You know, I mean, it's a, who doesn't want a car that goes 250 miles per hour? I'm picturing this, you know, ramp from West Street that, you know, is like, it feels like a mile long that takes you to West, takes you to eastbound 70 into the south split. Man, that is a fun ramp to drive. I'm not saying I'm reckless on it, but it feels like you're taking off sometimes, you know, that you're an actual, if you roll down the window and stick your arm out, it feels like an airplane. It really does.
I'll be honest though, man, like, can you picture taking this car home? The $2.5 million price tag is what it is, and like the missus looking at you, for me in my situation, and being like, this car goes 256 miles per hour, she would be terrified of the idea that I'd have something like that at my disposal at any point in my life.
Oh, you'll get divorced, I mean, hands down. Sure. Yeah, you're it's worse than on the couch. Yeah. You'll be sleeping in the car. I mean, I hope you like the Batmobile, and I hope the seat seats retract a little bit.
And the divorce is more expensive.
It's true. I will say this, by the way, and I probably should admit this on the radio, but darn it, we're going to do it. And usually it's on country roads. I've topped out every vehicle I've ever owned. I found out the top speed of every vehicle. Luckily, none of my cars have been cool. So the top speed has never been, you know, all that intense. I think I had a Mazda 323 that went like 85 top speed. So these are the kinds of vehicles I've maxed out.
We used to do that in high school. I would go out and we would quote-unquote race on county roads because, you know, we were from a small town. We were bored as hell. So we'd take our cars and we'd go race them. Now, my buddy Kyle, he had a Camaro. Somebody else had like a supercharged truck. And then I'm driving an 89 Sundance. My top speed was like 67 miles per hour. And you know, we would all go for a little bit, go for a few miles and stop. And I'd be like, did I win? And I'd be serious. You know, I'd be like, no, you didn't win.
I love that you said that because I vividly remember one, quote, drag race, I think is what my friends all called it, where my Mazda 323 faced off against somebody's much fancier vehicle. I don't remember what it is now. And the guy just like he didn't actually race me. Because my car went 0 to 60 in like 7 minutes. It was not a good thing. It was the slowest, craziest. I could have gotten out and run faster, I think, than the vehicle went.
You needed ground effects. If you have the ground effects, you get a little more horsepower. That's what I'm told,
right.
At least.
Yeah, this is great. Yeah, I love that people wanted to race my car because they knew it would be pathetic. Another thing out there, I don't care about this. I did see it, though. Chick-fil-A has made a major announcement. They're going to change their chicken, but not in a way that hopefully we notice. They're getting away from, quote, antibiotic-free chicken, and instead they're going to go with a term I've never heard of before, no antibiotics important to human medicine chicken, which means that any antibiotics that are in there aren't stuff that interacts with us at all. I don't care. Chick-fil-A chicken is delicious. I'll eat it. Put whatever things in you want. Take whatever things out you want. But I do like the fact that the announcement included a term, no antibiotics important to human medicine food.
Don't change the Chick-fil-A sauce. Don't change the sauce and you'll be fine. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm all for this. I've been eating pre-cooked chicken for the last couple of weeks. You buy it in the store, sure. You know, and I compare prices and cooking time and everything. And it's like, okay, it's cheaper, pre-cooked. My body hasn't been right for the last 2 weeks. And I'm not going to go into detail about that. So anytime we can get a little bit more cleaner on our meats, and meats and sausages and chickens, I'm all for it. You know, it's maybe this could just be like smokehouse meats, you know, just like undercooking their chicken a little bit, but that's probably not it. So I don't know.
Yet again, we've accidentally stumbled upon one of the many, many bumper stickers I want that's related to Matt Bear. Your stomach hasn't been right for a while, so we need to improve our meats. There's got to be a bumper sticker in there, right?
There's nothing worse you can do than undercooked chicken, and yet I do it all the time. And I pay the fool. I definitely pay the fool.
Don't let your stomach get as bad as Matt Bear's. Cook your chicken. Sounds great.
I can't do it right. No matter, I eat the same thing every single day, and it's still obnoxiously bad. I'm like, okay, you're middle aged. Just deal with it. You know, whatever.
Yeah, just live with it. Just continue to have the issues, whatever they are, that we all figured out, by the way, even though you didn't get into detail. All right. On that note, that was fun. On that note, let's take a break for some traffic and do some more stuff, and let's all pray for Matt Bear's stomach.
Thank you.